because first impressions always count, and it always leaves people thinking who you really are. As a lady, I think you should be able to dress appropriately depending on where you're going, even if you want to look sexy. You can look sexy and appealing at the same time than looking trashy. You're always dressed by how you look. Trust me. I think people should actually be able to express themselves. If you want to be addressed as a billionaire, you have to start dressing like one. People usually try to resonate with yourself than your brand. Whatever I want to achieve in life, if I don't get up and do it myself, nobody's going to save me. So that's me.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Derek Abaite, and today you're tuned in once again to the Connected Minds podcast, where one good conversation, of course, can change a million lives. You know, everyone needs to have an identity. So today, the conversation we're going to have, it's around brand identity, because we have a specialist in the house. Her name is Bubone. Everyone knows her as Bive. Now, she's worked with a lot of celebrities, a lot of brands, a lot of CEOs, and I'm sure I'm going to be one of her customers very soon. And I believe today, if you stick around, you're going to understand why you should appear good the first day. You're welcome here. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're with us today.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
Yeah. So we met in London. You can't remember.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we met in London. We met in Barking. Samuel was around. There was quite a few people around.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember what I was wearing?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
That's interesting.
Yes, and I don't even remember all the people that we met that day, honestly. Yeah. Like I said, impressions, first impressions always count. And it always leaves people thinking who you really are.
Yeah.
So I bid everyone to that, irrespective of where you are in life, always make sure that wherever you go, you leave a mark. Before you even start talking, let people wonder who is this person. Like, your appearance should be able to attract people enough to make people want to be friends with you in a very positive way. Yes. So my ideal way of living is, my life is always, is like a runway. So you have to live your life as a runway. So every day has to be memorable. Mm. Even if it's a t-shirt you're wearing, make it stand out. Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I like t-shirts a lot. And white.
So do I.
Over the years, white has become my favorite color.
Oh, wow.
It was actually my wife that said, I think white is your favorite color. I didn't think so. But I realized that I wear white a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost everything, I want white.
Yes, white will always leave you responsible, because you're always careful when you're out there. Yeah. Imagine you being in black all the time. You can splash stuff on your shirt and not even think about it. But when you have white on, yeah, always careful about what you...
Yeah. And when I was growing up, I used to be clumsy as well.
Really?
So, yeah. Whenever I eat, you know, I spill a bit.
Everything all.
I spill a bit. And my son is doing that now. And I'm like, you know, why are you doing that? But then I know where he got it from.
He got it from you.
Got it from daddy. Yeah. Yeah, so transitioning to white is like, now I'm a lot more careful.
Careful. Mm.
When I'm, you know, eating and drinking and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what was your upbringing like?
My upbringing, I would say, I don't usually have anything to say because I came from a broken home, honestly. So a lot of things didn't work out for me as a child growing up. My mom, the last time I saw my mom and dad together was about seven, when I was 7 years, and that was it. So I've been on my own for the longest time. even though I had to stay with people, but the kind of love and affection that you would get from like both parents or like co-parenting, I didn't get that. So at a very tender age, I started looking out for myself. And I've had this for the longest time, that nobody's going to save you. And that is what I have used in my life all these years. Nobody's going to work for me. Nobody is going to get the job done for me. Whatever I want to achieve in life, if I don't get up and do it myself, nobody is going to save me. So that's me. So I try to put in 100%. No procrastination. I don't procrastinate, trust me. Because coming from a childhood where you don't really get the love and the support from the people that you think were your God at that time. You know, our parents are usually our first God on earth.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't get that, you become very lonely. You become a child that if care is not taken, you lose confidence in yourself. And then you become very lonely. I think that was how my childhood was, because I didn't really get that love, that attention, that... all the nicest things, I never get that. So it's made me become very on the offense side of life. So anytime something little happens, it triggers a lot in me, a lot of dark side out of me. So because I get to feel like, oh, I'm in the world all by myself. Nobody's going to save me. How am I going to get this done? I have to make it happen. I don't want people to see I'm a loser. So you're always on the go to make sure that you are a step ahead of your enemies or anybody that wants to put you down. Yeah.
There was a day
mm-hmm.
I cried.
Okay.
It's probably the 20th time I've cried. But okay. This particular day I remember because yeah. something happened.
Okay.
And with one of my brothers, and then my mom called me.
Yeah.
And she said, "You're the only one we have.
Yeah.
You know, help out, do this, do that."
Yeah.
And the first thing I said to my mom was that, "Yeah, I understand."
Yeah.
My biggest issue, mom, mm-hmm. is I'm here, thank God, yeah. to help.
Yeah.
But if I need help, who's going to help me?
Help you. Yeah. That's the thing.
And as soon as I left the phone, I broke into tears.
Yeah.
Because I realized at that point that I'm the only person I have. But yeah. it looks like everybody else has me.
Has you. Yeah. 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 That's deep. That's deep. Because a lot of times, society has made us so much that you don't have to show your weakness. You don't have to go to anybody for help. But trust me, I am in a space where I'm very privileged to have a lot of people, good people. If I talk about good people, I'm so blessed to have good people around me that I can call when, not financially, but when I'm emotionally down, I'm able to open up, cry my heart out for them to feel where I am without any form of judgment. So there I'm secured, because you being everything for your family and you saying you don't have anybody to fall on when you have to should be a man thing, where we are brought up, men are singing not to have meltdown. But it's okay if you have to break down in front of people. It's okay if you have to cry for people to know that, hey, things are not all right with you. But men usually don't come out like that.
Nah.
But we women, we do. Yes. We usually break down. We talk to people. Get just to let us have this burden off. Not totally, but at a point in time, even talking to somebody that you trust so much about things that are weighing you down, in a way, gives you some sort of upliftment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, even if you don't get a result there and then, there's this weight that lifts you, at least for you to be able to open up to somebody than bottling it up. I keep saying that all the time. I can never be that person that when I'm going through stuff, I'd want to go through it all by myself.
Yeah,
I would always want to talk to people about things I go through. And I'm not shy to talk about it. Mm. You know why? Because I feel, and I'm not shy when people laugh about my downfalls.
Mm.
I'm not, because I'm not perfect. There's no straight path to success, you know?
Indeed, yeah.
So it would be good for them to laugh at me now. And then again, when I make it big, they'll be like, yeah, you remember that girl? Yes. I used to know her. She used to be that girl that was so like seriously at my home. She used to be a failure.
Yeah.
But then again, I didn't just stay down there.
Mm.
I thrived through. I made my way through out to the top.
Mm.
So I think people should actually be able to express themselves, like the real percent of them, like not hiding stuffs behind themselves, like the face of Instagram or like social media, where people will feel everything, you have it well put together, but in reality, you have a lot of things weighing down.
Yeah, well, when you are in the, now in the age of social media, a lot of things are covered.
Yeah.
And everybody is concerned about how...
Protecting an image. You have to protect an image.
What image are we protecting? Yeah. The same pictures you put on Instagram, that's what you are protecting because you're sitting at home.
Yes.
Concerned about all those things.
Yes.
You know, but sometimes it's necessary. You know, it's necessary to speak out and then let people know. But at that time, I just felt it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is happening. That is happening. That is happening. And they're all coming to Derek.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're thinking to yourself, well, who am I going to?
Yeah. We have God.
Well, yeah.
That's a
good thing. Well, they have God. Everybody else
no,
has
they
God
have
too.
God. But you should know, this is what I have to tell you. Mm. I am more, we are all spiritual, but I connect more on a level whereby anytime I'm in a position to help somebody, I always thank God. And I always thank God for being able to put me in that situation to be able to help. Yes, exactly. So I don't glorify helping people. Mm. I see it to be me being an instrument for God to use to bless people.
That's the purpose of abundance anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is why you're never going to lack.
Yeah.
Because he's always going to use you as a channel to bless his people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think we had some conversations about your time at school, early stages.
How I got into styling.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I've always been that kind of person that I would say I'm really attracted to people's personal branding. Back in the days, it was how you look. But now I think we've modified it by saying personal branding. As a brand or as an individual, you should have an identity. And an identity, I would always say that, let me say this, Chris Brown has an identity. Every time he tries to do wild stuff because he's an artist, you get me? So that is his identity as an artist. So everybody relate to him as that. Imagine seeing Chris Brown dressing up in like, what's it called? in a serious suit and tie with his, what's it called? Like a tux with his shoes and all that. It would be like, it would come to us as like a surprise. But over the years, we've seen his style, his blonde hairs, the kind of wild, crazy hairs he does. So we relate to that more as his identity because he's an artist. Okay, so let's say you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to go seek a contract, right? I say this all the time. You're always addressed by how you look. Trust me.
Mm.
And if you want to be addressed as a billionaire, you have to start dressing like one.
Right.
And I think a week ago, I had a client who said she was going to meet somebody for a contract and she wants to underdress so the person doesn't feel she's coming in to raid him off or something. And I was like, no, you have to dress like $1 million. So when you bid in for a contract or an amount for him to pay, he'll know that is not even... That's peanut for you. But here in Ghana, where we found ourselves, like a lot of people try to underdress. I don't know if it's the fact that they don't see the value of doing it or It's just that you're lazy about it. I don't know if you've realized that here in Ghana.
Yeah, I guess from what I'm gathering, then it's better to overdress than underdress. That's what you're saying.
Not overdress. You don't have to overdress, but just look presentable. And when we talk about being looking presentable, you have to look the path where you're going.
Okay.
You have to look the path to where you're going. For instance, when you are invited into a meeting, I say this in all in respect to business, because business is always a place that you would have to elevate yourself and prove a point in every the circle you find yourself. And you're being invited into a business meeting and you just wear like a t-shirt or something. Derek, you have to be a billionaire to be wearing that t-shirt. Yeah, for real. Because that means you're going in there, you're not going to ask for anything. But right. If you're going to ask for something, and even in the dating space as women, I would even say that some women tries to, you can be a total turn on for a man or a total turn on for a man.
Okay.
So you have to be able to know how to balance it. You have to look in a way that a man will be like, oh, this girl can be somebody I can take home by, in another way can be a freak. There has to be a balance.
Right. Right.
There has to be a balance in everything that you do. Like, for instance, we have, I'm talking for myself, like ladies that have like very longer nails and then you have boobs spilling out and all that. As a lady, I think you should be able to dress appropriately depending on where you're going. Even if you want to look sexy, you can look sexy and you can look sexy and appealing at the same time than looking trashy.
Funny you mentioned the nails.
Yeah. Right?
There was a time
my
wife and I saw an image of this lady who had nails about that long.
Yeah.
And then I showed it and he was like, so how is she going to clean a bum?
Yeah. The thing is
like, how is she going to use her phone?
Yeah.
You will need a different type of fingers to be able to do all of that.
Mm.
But hey, you know, it's nice. It's nice.
Nah. That is not being a lady.
Right.
And you have to, as I was saying, you have to be able to balance everything that you do. Life, you have to be very intentional about it. And when it comes to physical appearance, like how to put your looks together, you always have to calculate the kind of audience you're meeting every time you have to meet somebody. I remember I was telling you earlier today that dressing up like this, it took me like five to six looks for me to be able to sit here with this basic shirt and sneakers I have.
It wouldn't take me that long.
Yes, because I needed to fit into your audience because you said it was a podcast. So I had to dress. You were not expecting me to be on heels, have like a dress up on. I wanted it to look more casual and fun. So then I had to dress to fit into the space. Wow. I didn't do much. It was just a t-shirt and but I had to calculate the look, envision how it's going to come out. Before I get it done.
So there's always a thought process.
Yes, I think through every look, I would say, any time that I have to step out, even if I'm going to the salon, I think through what I have to wear, what is appropriate for the salon.
Wow, I need a different kind of brain.
Okay, maybe because you're a man. Because
I can show up, I can show up in church like this.
Yeah.
I can show up in a family meeting like this.
Yeah.
I can show up at the office like this.
Yeah, depending on the kind of office you go to.
Hmm.
Depending on the kind of office, if you're going in to bid for a contract,
can't go looking shabby.
You can't. you have to look like the money you're about. No, I think you even have to look twice of whatever you're going to look for.
So
the way you even smell, the way you smell, very important.
Yeah.
So all those things play a very major role in how you are being perceived. For the first time.
So let's say personal branding, right? You want to brand Derek.
Yeah.
What would be the process and the decision making at the end? And which part would I play into your imagined image for me?
So usually people don't like to step out from their comfort zone. People would always want to step out when they've outgrown where they are and they feel the circle that they are falling into, they don't meet that standard. That is when they start realizing they have to work on themselves. I have a lot of clients like that. Usually when I have a package that I sell on for people, and some people, when you sell it out for them, they don't even see the essence. So now I've stopped selling it. I've stopped talking about it because I always want people to hit the rock. When they hit the rock, they come back being ready. So imagine coming to you, hey, Derek, I want to brand you. I want you to start looking good. I want you to start looking sharp and all that. I would come and maybe talk to you about 45 minutes or 30 minutes or 20 minutes maximum or something. But I kid you not, you didn't get any. You weren't moved by any. It's more like marketing. But when you start associating yourself with the big boys, you start going into their midst. You see how they roll, how they pull their things together. Psychologically, you're affected. So in their midst, you would want to fit in. So that is when you come back to the drawing board to see how can I get into the group where people will identify me as part of the group. So imagine going into a setting whereby you see like five men or five women sitting up. You would always know the alpha of the group. But how they look, how they talk, and the way people approach them. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
No, I get it. I'm listening very attentively.
Yeah.
I get it completely.
Mm.
And I get what you're saying. Sometimes it is the association that determines how you're going to dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a male client, a man who has really risen up there like that. So he came, it was a project we had on. So they were taking him through the etiquette stuff. Corporate guy, very big man, gold and stuff like that. He's into the mind frame. But he's realized where he's falling into now. He's not fit for that. So we had to go through the whole process with him. Personal grooming, how to take care of himself. And it's not a bad thing. A lot of people don't know. Some people focus more on just the job and then forget the personal brand. Like, you know, Tony Onulemero or something, the UBA guy?
Nah.
You don't know him?
Nah.
That man is good with branding. You should check him out. Like, he's always in a red suit and a red tie and a suit. But look, his looks are always a hit. Because he has a whole team that takes care of his personal branding. You should hook him up. You should look at him on Instagram. The owner of UBA Bank, you know UBA, Nigerian bank. Yeah. Yes. He has a whole team that flies with him. He's always in just black shirt and black polo shirt. He hardly even wears sneakers that much. But you can see the guy his looks are thoroughly well put together. So that is a man that he would go into the midst of people and there's so much respect. He commands so much confidence. The way he even walks would be able to tell you that this man has a good personal branding going on there. Yeah. You know, most of the times you see CEOs and entrepreneurs and you go like, oh, really? Is this really the brain behind the brand? Your brand should match the personality. I say that all the time because people will not start taking you serious. A lot of people usually try to resonate with yourself than your brand when you have proper branding going on. Oh, you don't conquer to what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I do. I do.
Imagine people see the brand behind Connected Mind. The guy has a great personality. The guy has a, this guy, I will talk about futuristic Kwame. I used to work with Kwame at MX. People really didn't see Mike too, but he started associating himself with the Vuzi guy. The Vuzuga, the South African guy. The guy is good with personal branding. And now Kwame is able to command so much crowd here in Ghana.
I see.
Yes. So I think personal branding is something that we have to, every individual has to work on it, have an identity. If you are a white shirt guy, make sure you nail the hell out of the white tees you wear all the time.
Okay.
So anybody that sees you in a white tees, maybe the little accessories you're going to have on is going to make the look come out really, really great. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. But I say that today you see people in different stuff, and they're all over. They try hard to have an identity.
Okay.
Somebody like Thames, the musician, we don't really know her identity. I don't really know her brand identity, because she's all over. She's all over. And that is something that with personal branding, you should be able to come out with something.
You identify
exactly the brand with somebody the has a hat they wear as their brand identity wherever they find themselves. Yes. So anybody that sees you knows that you come up with a hat.
This is very interesting.
Yep. Very interesting.
I never thought about it like that. It's very interesting. I may have to work on my brand.
We're all learning. White tees are cool. White tees are cool depending on how you put them together. I say that all the time. So it's not about doing the most, but being intentional about what you do.
Yeah.
That is what you have to put in mind. So you can choose to even wear like a Louis Vuitton shirt, which doesn't even make sense, but it will still not look fly on you. But it depends on how you are able to put that look together to suit your personal brand.
Yeah. But I mean,
that's what matters.
Personally, I don't like clothes that have brands in them.
I think it's cliche now.
Personally.
Yes, cliche now.
I don't like that. Especially this part of the world. You can never really know whether it's original.
Yeah.
I don't really like them.
The brand
is watch, there. Shoe, but jeans and t-shirt, I don't really.
You know the rich people, or the wealthy people usually do street brands. They do a lot of street brand because clothes are things that we're going to use more often. So maybe the shoes and the accessories and the bags would make a difference, because when you have a lot, you'll be able to change. But with clothes, these are things that we'll be wearing every day. So I think those things should be like basic steps that we should get. Not really invest much in it, but be able to get qualities that make so much sense. Yeah.
You were speaking about how you got yourself into personal brand.
Personal styling.
Yeah. And then there was something you said when we were speaking about you sitting at the front.
Okay.
Role in class, which I thought was very nice.
So, you know, usually back in school, I would go to Cantamanto, right, to get clothes. Because I'd always wanted to be that girl that, you know, I look all fly in a nice way, that like somebody would turn and look at you and be like, oh, nice. This is nice. I really like this. Not in a seductive way. Don't get me wrong. But in a very, I think,
respectful way.
Yes, that's the word. So back in school, I would always be the last to come into the classroom, but always sit in front. I walk in right before the lecturer comes in, sit right in front, and immediately he's done, I stand and I walk out of the class. So eventually people started noticing me, and people would approach, oh, hey, you're the girl. Can I be your friend? I like what you're wearing. Where did you get that from? So that was how I made friends through what I was wearing in school. Not too much. I wasn't even doing too much because I was always in jeans and stuff as well. But the fact that I was able to put them together and for it to look very attractive on me, for people to compliment that, I think that was how I was able to get acquainted with people like my coursemates and stuff like that. And even people out of my
seniors.
My seniors, like that. So after school, after my service, I had this friend from school that I had just traveled to Nigeria. I got back that morning and she was a designer. We intended going to designing school, but I was like, I'm not the kind of person that like to sit at one place for long. So I like to move. I always want to move. So she went into school to design. And after that, she was done. She invited me on set one morning where she was shooting with Becca. And that morning, she invited me over to take her on set because she made the outfit as well. So I got on set and Becca had a stylist. Funny enough, all what the stylist was doing, I was so itchy to get it done. So out of nowhere, my friend just told Becca that, oh, she's a stylist. My friend is a stylist. The next morning, I had a call from my friend that Becca said she was having an event that evening and she wanted me to style her. And that's how I've been a stylist for this long. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. That was how I ended up. Because I say this all the time. So supposing I didn't follow my friend that day, where would my destiny be now? Because I just listened to the voice. I was like a girl just out of school. I finished my service. I was home. And Leslie, I didn't have anything to do. So I just followed her on set for her to wear the clothes for the lady as well. So she called me and she was like, she wanted me to style her for a concert. That was in December. That was December 2015. Yes, 2015, yeah. Yes. And I styled it. And it has been from that day.
Yeah. But one of the things I wanted to know was what's the thought process though? See, when you see a person, like, what's the thought process? Is it just you pick the clothes and then that's you like, it's going to fit that person, it's going to fit that person? Or you actually picture a type of outfit for a person and then you just go for it? Or you have options?
Okay, so this is it. I think with styling, first of all, before I choose an outfit or I style anybody, I always ask people of what they do. Based on what you do, we determine the kind of outfit that will go with you. And in terms of like your body type, your complexion, the event you're attending, that also play a major role. The color palette, colors that look good on you, all those things play a major role before I would even come up with an outfit. So I just don't pick. Maybe you're going out and you don't have to, like, in terms of ladies, you don't have to wear something short where if you sit, you would feel uncomfortable. And many a times you see people at events that you'll be like, oh, did she really come out from the house? Because they didn't really think properly about the kind of people they were meeting and the kind of crowd they were coming into. So as a stylist, what I do is I help you put all those things in place before you even come up to put an outfit on for you to look good. Yes.
I see.
Yes.
So you do that work?
Yes, I do that work. I plan all the looks. I create mood boards. We create mood boards. I send you mood boards of the looks. We are trying to perceive the shoes that will go with the looks, the hair that will go, the kind of makeup that will go with the looks, the accessories that will go with it, the bags that will go with the looks. In fact, so a whole lot of process goes into it. So when you're choosing an outfit, you just don't choose because it's an outfit. It's nice. I've gotten into a boutique. I've seen this cool outfit and I know it's going to work on me and I'm just buying it to wear to an event. Nope.
That's what I do most of the time.
Nope.
You just pick it. You're like, oh, yeah, that's nice.
Nope. Yes.
There's a process to it. No,
And a lot of people think, styling is just for celebrities, but I don't think that's it. Because anybody that is trying to leave a mark or trying to build a brand should have a personal stylist. Yes. But here, it's been so hard here, to be honest with you, because when I started, I was getting a lot of celebrity jobs. Like most of the clientele base I had were all celebrities. But over the years I've evolved, I realized that people really need help. Celebrities are all we see, but on a daily basis, a lot of people need help. So I started with the personal styling where I try to look into people's personal lives to be able to come up with like a wardrobe capsules for them, things that will suit their personality and their brand. So if they are going now, they have varieties of stuff to wear that would make them feel comfortable in it as well. So most people, like women, most people always end up wearing loose stuff all the time. Have you realized? You always wear like a shirt. Ghana, the normal thing is a white shirt for ladies. And the men to white shirt, that's it. They don't really add anything to it and they are just bare like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning. I just didn't think this whole thing was that deep.
It's deep.
I just thought, look, if I'm going to church and I need a suit, got like 4 or 5 suits.
Okay.
Pick one of them. Mm-hmm. Wear it.
You just wear it.
If I'm going for a wedding,
uh-huh.
Get one. I didn't really think we're gonna have to sit down for you to make a plan about my life and the things I'm gonna wear.
If you're able to plan about like, what you put in your body, why don't you want to put?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you have to plan on things you like, I remember when we're having breakfast, you said you don't take in meat.
Nah, I don't.
So why can't you plan what you look like for people to see?
I guess I do. I guess I,
sorry?
I should. I guess
you should. I think those are things that we should have. You should have like wardrobe staples, things that people would find in your wardrobe. Like those things are like an go-to stuff that every day you can use. But then again, a lot of people don't prioritize that. A lot of people have a lot of clothes in their closet, but anytime they have to go out, they have to shop.
Yes.
And to tell you the truth, the last time, I don't even shop. I hardly shop because I make the most out of the things I buy. And because I'm very intentional about it, I'm able to buy things that I'm able to restyle.
Okay.
So that I don't have to be buying new clothes all the time. And then when it even comes to colors of things, of shoes, of bags I buy, I always think about colors. Yes. Yes. You have to think about things that you can reuse in diverse ways than having only an outfit or like a shoe or a bag that you're able to use once a year.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love
that's
it. I'm empowered.
It. Yeah. That's it. That's
I love it.
So I say this all the time. I think my confidence level has really gotten to the space where I don't think anybody can break me.
Because I tell you what.
Tell me.
So even
uh-huh.
starting to wear rings,
uh-huh.
right, was something I had to get used to.
Okay.
Like, you know. And then starting to wear glasses.
Uh-huh.
Like, how are people going to look at it? Like, they're probably going to think,
you know,
I'm being weird, you know? I'm trying to be extra.
Yes, 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 yes. I have...
I used to like to keep it simple,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm getting there. You know, now I'm adding some necklaces and things like that. And people still see you and they're like, oh... Right, you got a ring there uh-huh, and then a ring there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then we're like, okay, I'm just trying, you know?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people find it so hard coming out from their comfort zone. That's the thing, what they've learned all their lives. I think humans are naturally undermanned to change. Like for me, telling a client to wear something short above her knee or like wearing a crop top. I wear crop top a lot because I like to sometimes define, not crop top in a very...
Seductive way,
but like just show a little bit of skin as a woman. You always don't have to be all covered depending on where you're going. Sometimes you have to show, if it's a weekend, show some back, show some, you know what I'm saying? So clients like, oh, where does then should be like with which stomach? That's the first thing they will ask me. I'm like, you're perfect. Your tummy doesn't have to be totally flat for you before you'll be able to wear that. If you do that, you'll be stuck with boring stuff all the time. You'll be stuck with, but you have to be able to learn.
Bring some excitement.
Excitement, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Supposing if you're going out with your friends, your girlfriends, you want to look very youthful and stuff like that, you should add some sort of, you know, some elements that will make you look more sexy. Yeah.
Well, then I guess there's a fine line between being sexy and being seductive then.
Yes.
You see a lot of the ladies showing a lot of cleavage.
Okay, so with the cleavage thing, you can show a little. As a lady, actually, let me rephrase it.
Uh-huh.
As a lady, you can show cleavage, but not too much. The thing is, you have to keep the mind wondering what is there. It's like opening up of a cake, right? Or like opening food up. You don't open it too much. You just open for people to smell the aroma. Then you close it back. So people would be curious to know what's been in there. That's the thing. But the thing is, when you will spill everything out and they are saying, so what are they going to be curious about to see again?
But then nothing. Some of the men too are saying that if you're showing it too much,
uh-huh.
then you're causing trouble for other men.
How you
and you know, it's making other men want to chase after the women and things like that. So they want it all closed.
No, all closed in a way that you don't get me. Like if I'm not saying you should make everything show.
Okay.
In a way, you tease a bit.
Is that?
It doesn't have to be all covered. Because myself, I've been guilty for some time now. Because anytime I go out with my husband, okay, I show more of curves than skin. I feel that's what I've been doing. But now I have to be intentional about, there should be a balance where I showed more of a little bit of the cleavage and stuff like that for it to
when
be.
When you're with your husband?
Yes, when I'm okay. with my husband.
Okay.
That is not that I'm going out like telling people, like, yes, it's not that I'm going out or telling people, okay, I need a man, or like I need a man to call me. But then again, you are with a man and you'll be like, damn, she's sexy, she's with her man.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying? So that your man doesn't look at other sexy girls whilst you look boring beside him.
Yeah. you know when
that's the truth.
Sometimes
that's the truth. Yeah. That's the truth.
Yeah,
that's the truth. Yeah, you have to look like that. You have to. You can be the good girl, but you have to be the
good girl, bad girl.
Bad girl as well. There should be a balance. You can't be.
Is there ever a time that a woman will dress mm-hmm. having in mind that the men are gonna look at this?
Yeah, so depending on that. The type of women, the woman that you're talking about. We have a lot of women.
Because as part of the dressing, the styling,
mm-hmm.
you know, is there a conscious effort to reveal certain things to gain attention from the opposite
Absolutely.
Sex? Okay.
Absolutely. Depending on the kind of woman that you're talking about. If a woman is taken, or if a woman really wants a man, obviously, she's going to do that for attention. But a woman who is classy and elegant, I think will show you something, but will not show you much. You know, will not show you much. But the people, we have the people that are in town that they are like, hey, I'm here, call me. This is what I'm here for. And then we have the other type of women that I'm classy, I'm sexy, but I'm not looking for a man. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's also the one. I mean, me personally, I didn't choose my wife because she was showing me things.
Okay.
I chose her because that's just who I liked.
Obviously, no man chooses any man because of that. When I talk about choosing, it's not for kips. You're an adult, so you should know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, of course, like going out to the club, dressing, most people come to the club for hookups. I'm being honest with you. Okay. So you, obviously when you're selling something, you have to display it well for people to see it. So if you're selling, you have to display it properly. But somebody who comes to the club who just want to have fun, I don't think will overly display much because she's just there for a good time. She's there not to attract men. I've been in the club where I've seen women that have dressed like really nice, sexy, but not too much of an attention, but they are just there to have fun. Those kind of women are different.
Okay.
You know, from the people that are there selling.
Selling.
You should know.
Selling.
You should know.
Yeah. Selling.
Yeah.
Wow. What are we selling? But yeah, you know, how do you bring somebody to the realization that they have to start being confident about the new outfit or the new brand that you've given them?
Okay. Yeah. I say this all the time, depending on what you face and the scope you find yourself, you try to adjust yourself. That's what I just said. When you start meeting CEOs, you start sitting in boardrooms with top CEOs and you see the way they even dress, the way they smell, the watch they have, the kind of things they wear, your mind will start positioning that, hey, you have to blend in.
So you get the client to do it themselves. So you don't any...
I do that. Right. The fact is, when I come to you telling you, I want to do and that, at that time, you'll be like, what is this? What nonsense is this girl talking about? When you go out in the world and you start seeing people that you realize that you are not matching up to their standard, then you come back to me and that is when I'll help you. Okay. And with that, they are easy for change. But when you go in there trying to talk to them to change the scope of how they feel very undermined. They don't even see the essence of it being that way. It's just like, what's it called? That was the best example that I can cite right now. When people don't take good care of their health, and when their health starts deteriorating, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, when you tell them 100 drugs to make them feel good, they will buy without even complaining.
Oh, yeah.
So people have a problem. You can't give them a solution. If they don't realize they have a problem, trust me, every solution you give them is not going to work for them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. there are some patients that, mm-hmm. you know, they have to have a first episode of stroke before they start taking their hypertension medication regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially some of us men, they just don't like taking them.
Yeah.
You know, I understand. People have to hit that.
Yes. When they hit that rock, like people telling you, my husband doesn't look at me often now. I want to get my groove back on. They've realized, maybe they've noticed the man is not giving them the attention they want. So now they want to feel sexy again. That is when they will come back to you. But if they are okay, they wouldn't see any difference in doing any of that.
Do you do bedroom branding as well?
No, not bedroom branding. As a woman, everything that talks about confidence in a woman is what I would really want to. That is what I serve.
Okay.
Anything that would bring a woman's confidence back, I'm up for it. People that go through postpartum depression, a lot of women go through that. The body changes after childbirth. A lot of women are not able to deal with it. And low-key, people don't talk about it. And then you realize that they start wearing loose stuffs all the time. And then you hear them talking about, before I had kids, I had a great body. But what changed? Childbirth. But I feel childbirth shouldn't restrict you from being yourself. A lot of women fall under the umbrella of, because I have kids, my body has changed and I can't look like the way I used to look. But I feel every woman, after some time, you have to get your body in shape. You have to get your groove back on. Because mind you me, the men will tell you, oh, you're okay, you're that. But they didn't meet you like that. That wasn't what they married to. They married. Even though changes are prone to happen, but you have to make a conscious effort to make sure that even if it's not for the man, for you yourself as a woman,
right.
You have to be so confident in yourself, in your body, and how you even dress should be more appealing for yourself. So I say this all the time. Look at yourself, 5 years of you from now, and ask if you'll be able to date yourself.
Okay.
There should be a constant change in you. The more you go, there should be constant change in how you put yourself together and stuff like that. But if you look at people like 5 years ago and 5 years from now, a lot of women stop doing all of that after they get married. I don't know why. They just stop. But before marriage, they'll be dressing, doing the right things. But right after marriage, they stop everything. Forgetting marriage is a long time thing.
Yeah, they were selling. Now it's been bought.
even if it has been bought, there should always be maintenance. Yeah. Maintenance is key because you always have to maintain what you've bought, or else it's not going to look fresh.
Yeah.
So you always have to maintain it. They're right. In the fridge. There should be maintenance or it's going to break down.
Yeah, I understand.
How about that?
There
should always be maintenance as
and
well.
And I'm definitely for married women and men.
Yes.
Taking care of themselves at home. Because I realized that I was losing hair here.
Okay.
So actually, I started losing my hair when I was about 19 years.
Right? Wow.
So when I got married.
Yes.
It went like
bald.
As soon as the kids came in.
Wow.
So I went to Turkey and I got it done.
What did you do?
Right? I did a hair transplant. So I got
it
fixed.
A hair transplant?
Yeah,
is it the laser?
No, proper hair transplant where they take it from the back of my hair and then put it here. So I got that done. Yeah.
Because I remember the first time I met you. When did you do it?
I did it about 2 years ago.
Oh yeah, because the first time I met you,
it wasn't this full.
So was it that the hair wasn't growing or what?
It just went.
Wow. Was it the weather in London?
Money pressures. A lot of money pressures.
Money pressures? Does it count to that? Does it?
Yeah, you want money. And it's in my family as well. My daddy.
Yeah, of course. If it's in, I think it's a hereditary stuff. Yeah.
And I'm still going to go back and get a crown done because I have to do it in two parts.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's all part
of. Oh my God. The fact that you've been, as a man, you as a man, you've been able to do that. I would say I really applaud you for that because a lot of people would have just been like, oh, what is it like? I'm a man. If I have the money, what else do I have to keep up with? Yeah. And that is what happens here a lot. I say that all the time. Like men here, aside their cars and their houses, they have nothing to prove. So the first thing that the first thing that they want you to see when they meet you up with, when they meet up with you is their car, and then they invite you to their house to see, and that's it. They feel if they show you these two things, then that's it. But I feel the personal development is something that women should be attracted to in men. But here, anything goes. They want a man who has the cars and the what's it called?
Yeah.
The cars and the house that will not give them any.
Yeah.
They'll rather fall for that than a man on a mission.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. So I think it helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Boost up my confidence a little bit. And I remember when my wife, she was about to deliver. We were in a conversation and she said, she started saying some things and I pressed record. She goes, make sure when I deliver, you're going to push me to lose the weight.
Okay.
And I said, how do you want me to do it? And she said, say nasty things to me.
to get her to exercise.
So that she can. And I did that.
You did
and
that.
She's done amazing.
Amazing.
She's done amazing.
Wow.
So it's good we work on ourselves.
Yes. You know,
we shouldn't just give up just because we found a spouse and things like that. So the personal aspect of our lives need to carry on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's a whole lot of and then again, I don't blame people as much here in the country because if you have a lot of financial burdens on you, you're not even be able to take good care of yourself. Trust me. But then again, we can't fault that all the time. You have to be intentional about your life and you don't have to look like your problem. That's it.
Whoa.
You don't have to look like your problem. You have to have command over your problem because the problem met you. You didn't meet the problem. So you were there before the problem. So definitely the problem shouldn't outshine you, the individual.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's so deep.
Yes. Yeah. Life is all about being intentional about yourself all the time. Yeah. If you're not, it's just going to swallow you because the problem will never end.
Never goes away.
Kitty, he said what? Allow me, make her enjoy life. Problem no go finish. It's true. Yeah. When I heard that lyrics, I was like, wow, it's true.
Yeah.
It's never going to end. So you have to live your life to the fullest by dressing all the time, looking good all the time,
absolutely
feeling good. The feeling you have when you are well put together. I don't know for men, but for women,
I think I've already told you when I did my hair. You know when you first do the hair, right, you get scabs a lot. And
you
it looks very bad.
Wow.
I was confident as fuck.
Wow.
My wife was like, you're taking this out? And I said, yeah, because I know
What happened? So does it grow? Do you cut it?
They shave everything off.
So what do you do? What did you do? Did you cut it off? No, cut it off or it doesn't grow and that's how it is?
This?
Yes.
No, it grows. This is my actual hair. It grows.
So how?
I just put Durag on it. But on this show, right, we like to ask a few questions.
Okay.
And the first question is motivation or discipline?
Yeah, it has to be discipline for me.
Okay.
I think discipline gets the job done. Discipline is when, even when you're tired, you have to do it. To get the results, you have to do it. Discipline is key to me.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're not disciplined, trust me. Like motivation can motivate you, but it's not going to make you do the work as early as possible because you're going to work on your own time. But more discipline is having breakfast at 8 in the morning and making sure you have breakfast at 8 in the morning to get something done. But motivation, you're going to have breakfast, but you can choose to have it at 11.
Mm.
And that's like 3 hours behind you. And don't forget, time is money. Time is everything. The more your time is being taken off, your lifespan is also being taken away from you.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the best personal development book that you've ever...
Maybe it's you.
Okay.
I think there's a book. I don't really remember the author. But a friend gifted to me. And I'm not really good at reading books, to be honest with you. I'm not really a book person.
So maybe you should do audiobooks.
Yes, I love audiobooks.
Yeah.
Audiobooks, yes. Driving, listening to people, podcast. I love that a lot. But sitting up to read books, like, trust me, the next 5 minutes, I'm sleeping. I'm not going to lie about it, but that's me. Has always been me.
Yeah.
That has always been me. Yeah.
And Vivek, what's the best advice you ever had?
Keep doing what you're doing and the right people will fish you out. That has been my ever.
Keep doing what you're doing.
And the right people will fish you.
Fish you out.
Yeah.
Nice. That's nice.
It all started when I started styling here in Ghana. I was so depressed. There are a lot of times that I'd wanted to even stop this and go back to corporate, honest, for real. So there was this lady, Alexandrina, she doesn't even know the impact she has had on me. Since that time, I think it's been, if my son is 5, I think the past 4 years, I think that's what has really helped me. So I got really depressed because there were a lot of competitors in the market then. And she people were like, you don't do a lot of accessories compared to like the other stylists we have. Because I was thinking my way of styling people is more relatable than editorials. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Mm.
Because in styling, we have a lot of sections. We have the editorial looks and then we have the personal styling. I think my forte is more into personal styling. How people look on a daily basis matters to me than on a red carpet.
Right.
That matter. Red carpets, I don't really, it's an occasional stuff or maybe editorials, but I really want people to have this confidence in their everyday life. That is for me. I think that was my market. So I complained to her. I was like, Sandra, like, I feel I'm not doing well in what I was doing. Like, I was so depressed. And she was like, Wune, keep doing what you're doing and the right people will fish you out. 4 years down the lane, I really want to thank her for using that to talk to me.
Yeah.
Because I had made up my mind that I was going to go back into corporate. But here I am now, so happy. I'm serving a lot of people, having a lot of testimonies from clients, helping them regain their confidence and all that. It's very much of a ministry for me because had it not been that I had left this journey, what would have been the story by now? So I have been doing what I know how to do best. And through that, by the grace of God, I've been able to attract the right crowd, the right people.
They are fishing you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing to hear.
Yes.
But wow, thank you so much. I think it's been an awesome conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hope that our listeners and our viewers are going to learn how to do their personal branding and things like that. And those that need you will contact you.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. thank you for your time today. Honestly, mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Yeah. All right, Connected Minds. We'll speak to you guys another time.